Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post with myself, Jack Reeve. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be previewing all of this week's Premier League games as well as taking a look at the best angles from all the other divisions to hopefully arm you with some expert betting insight. To do exactly that, I'm joined by the wonderful Aaron Ashley and Warren Ashurst of the Racing Post Sport Desk, as well as Emma O'Keefe from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And gents, loads to get through, as I always say, but I'm going to keep saying it, the relentless nature of football at the moment in the current climate doesn't seem to stop. I'm sure it's keeping you all very busy. Emmett, we'll start with you. Welcome to the show, mate. I'm really keen to get your thoughts on the Championship outright market. First of all, tell us, has the market changed much since the start of the season? And has your opinions changed on who you deem the best team in the division?
Yeah, so the we've seen the market principles kind of shorten further, really, with Brentford, who would have started either joint favourite or maybe second favourite, are now 4-1, Watford 9-2, Norwich 11-2, Bournemouth 8-1, Stoke 13-1, Swansea 14-1, and 16-1 Bar. I was chatting to our Championship expert at work, Rob Jones, and he's still pretty confident of the front two in the market. And in particular, Watford look to be recruiting extremely well for the Championship. They've just signed William Troost, Ikong, unsurprisingly, from the other Pozzo venture in Italy, Udinese, and the experienced Nigerian international looks potentially a cut above the Championship at centre-half, as does their young Brazilian forward, Yao Pedro, who's earning some very exciting early reviews. So I'd be fairly confident in Watford and Brentford to kind of justify those prices. At a bigger price, I think you couldn't but be impressed by Blackburn after they were unfortunate to lose to Bournemouth at the opening day. They subsequently battered Wickham and Derby, with Adam Armstrong looking a strong candidate to be the top scorer in the league, and they're well managed by the experienced Tony Mowbray. There's some 9-1 around in Blackburn for promotion, and to me that looks a fair price and a Championship renewal that's lacking the real elite teams of Wolves and Leeds in previous campaigns.
Warren, outside of the top two, are there any teams that strike you as maybe, you know, being a bit longer than they should be?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, Jack, Swansea look a good price at 14-1. I know they've lost Rhian Brewster, of course, was impressive for him on loan from Liverpool last season, but they look like a team that have got a style and an ethos about them and they know what they're doing. And so far, two wins and a draw look pretty good so far, I'd say, in terms of another challenge for promotion, having missed out on the playoffs last season. I have to say, Bournemouth as well have done better than I expected, having lost a number of players. They look like they're going to add two or three more players over the coming weeks as well before the deadline closes. So I think Bournemouth might be there or thereabouts if they can add the right quality. They're around about 8-1 at the moment.
Aaron, I obviously read your previews in the big kickoff, etc. And a lot of people were very keen on Norwich City at the start of the season. I'd say they've maybe fell out of the stalls, is the best way to put it. Are you still hopeful that they can, you know, get through this and come out victorious?
My views have changed a little bit. I was a bit negative on Watford at the start of the season, but there's something about them that's starting to grow on me. They're obviously implementing new ideas under a new coach, and they've done it. They've been winning games. They've picked up 7 points from 3 games, 3 clean sheets, and they've been doing it with quite a depleted squad. They've still got the likes of Will Hughes, Welbeck, Jan Mat, Andre Gray, Craig Dawson all to return. Deeney and Saar may be off, but if they don't, it's a bonus. I think they've got the depth to cope with the 46 games over 34 weeks. They can cope with the challenge for me, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, there's still a few days left of the transfer window. So squads aren't finalised yet. But so some good shouts there. Really keen myself on Blackburn Rovers as well. They look the real deal this season. OK, let's get into the Premier League fixtures then. We've got a lot to get through. So let's make sure we get through them nice and quickly. Saturday, the 3rd of October, the early kickoff sees Chelsea take on Crystal Palace. This game's at 12:30 on BT Sport. Emmett, a show of the prices, please. And what's your angle here?
So, yeah, we've Chelsea favourites at 4-11, the draw 15-4, and Crystal Palace 13-2. It's early in the season, but I think that shocking mistake from Thiago for Callum Robinson's goal last week has to be a little bit concerning, given Chelsea relying on the 36-year-old to be their number one centre-half. However, this should be a much stronger Chelsea lineup than previous weeks, with Pulisic, Ziyech and Ben Chilwell likely to come into the team. But I still think they probably look a little short at current prices, given this looks an improved Palace side in previous years, with Etse coming in from QPR and Michy Batshuayi giving some much needed strength in attack. I think this is a game that'll play into Palace strengths, with Chelsea giving a lot of numbers forward in attack, and it should give opportunities for Zaha, Etse, Jordan Ayew and Batshuayi to exploit. I think Palace double chances worth chancing at over 2-1.
Aaron, what's your current kind of thoughts on this Chelsea side? Obviously, you know, on paper, had a remarkably good transfer window, and that's not over yet, but struggled at the start of the season, haven't they?
They have. I think it's only right to give them a bit of time. I mean, all these new signings are going to take time to bed in, and I'm not sure Lampard, I don't think he knows his best team still. That's a problem for me. And defensively, they're still looking suspect. Like Emmett said, Thiago Silva they've brought in, let's be fair, he's probably past his best now. So, yeah, I'd be happy to take them on at 4-11.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And Warren, in terms of Crystal Palace, they'll surely be pleased with the start to their season, won't they?
Oh, they will, especially when they've been missing Jack, the likes of Gary Cahill and James Tomkins through injury as well. I've been really impressed with what I've seen of Palace so far. I think this is a tough one to call. I was looking at both teams to score no draw in the market there, 11-8. Chelsea have looked all over the place at the back so far, of course. Conceded 6 goals in 3 Premier League games. And I do think that Zaha could be a good price to score at any time. 7-2, I think Palace can cause them some problems.
Interesting. Great stuff, Warren. Okay, the 3 o'clock fixture, just the one of them on Saturday, of course, to make sure that all of these games are televised. And it's Everton against Brighton. Emmett, Everton really started strongly. Does that reflect in the prices here?
Yeah, so we've Everton favourites at 8-11, the draw 13-5, and Brighton 15-4. As you said, Everton probably been one of the stories of the season so far. In particular, James Rodriguez has just been a real joy to watch. His range of passing is superb. And even if Dominic Calvert-Lewin may not be able to maintain his early season form, it's fair to say he's going to get a lot more chances than last season with with James in the team. The way I'm going to look here for a bet is a fairly obvious one after he hit the woodwork 3 times last week. But Leandro Trossard looks worth the bet at 4-1 to score any time. The Belgian's been fine form this season, and he could definitely be relied on to give us a run for our money, given his high volume of shots. I think Trossard showed flashes last season, but I could see him kicking on this year to maybe get close to double figures in the league this year.
Yeah, Warren, I mean, Everton, a strong start. Calvert-Lewin, as Emmett mentioned, a really good start to the season. I think they're looking to strengthen that defence. The Telegraph reporting that they're in for Ben Godfrey for fairly big money. Can they sustain this form?
I think they can be there or thereabouts, the top 6 this season, I have to say. But this is probably going to be their biggest test so far, because I've been really impressed with what I've seen of Brighton as well. I'm tempted by the draw here at 5-2. I mean, Everton have looked good going forward, still not completely convinced defensively, and that's why they're probably looking at Godfrey. Richarlison might be one to watch as well in terms of goals. He's scored 3 in the last 4 games against Brighton. He's 4-1 to score first on Saturday. As I say, Brighton have looked pretty solid. 3 points so far probably doesn't tell the whole story. They should have got something out of the game with Man United last week. They have lost the last 3 games at Goodison Park, but I do think they're capable of taking something here.
And Aaron, this Brighton side, what do we make of it? I always really struggled to kind of figure out my thoughts on Brighton. Last season felt somewhat of a transition. Is this the season they really start to move forwards?
I believe so, yeah. I really like Brighton. I've been really impressed with them. And Trossard, I mean, Potter's demanded more goals from Trossard. I think he looked brilliant against United. He scored against Chelsea. And there was signs at the back end of last season when he scored 2 goals in his final 5 games that he was coming into his own. So, yeah, with him, if they can get him scoring more goals, then I really do like Brighton, with Morpay up front as well. My best bet in this game would be both teams to score at 4-5. I think it's an excellent price. Everton's front 3 have been brilliant. Their midfield have looked really, really good in possession. But I'm still worried about them defensively, and I have no faith at all in Jordan Pickford. So, for me, both teams to score looks an excellent bet.
Yeah, sounds like a good angle, that one. OK, 5:30. This is sure to pull in the viewers. Leeds United against Manchester City. This one is live on Sky Sports. Emmett, Leeds, a strong start to the season. Manchester City, maybe not quite the start they've wanted. How are Paddy Power pricing this?
Yeah, so Leeds at 6-1, the draw at 9-2, and at Man City 1-3. I think this is the game we'd really look forward to, given it's obviously a meeting of Marcelo Bielsa, and who's once somewhat of his protege in Pep Guardiola. I think so far this year, we're really seeing, and towards the back end of last year, how much of an important player Fernandinho was to Man City. And since he's gotten older, moved to centre-half, Rodri just simply doesn't have the same ability to put out fires and start attacks like the Brazilian. I think between Laporte, Nathan Ake, and new signing Ruben Dias, City might be okay at centre-half this year, but it's the space in front of the centre-half that might be the bigger issue as the season goes on. I think it's going to be fascinating to see as well how City go about breaking down Leeds' press. Leeds, unsurprisingly, lead the Premier League in tackles made so far this season, and I wouldn't expect to see too much of a different approach from Marcelo Bielsa. The bet I liked here, though, was there's some 10-1 around about Nathan Ake to score any time. I think that's definitely value. I think we saw the issues earlier in the season Leeds had with defending Virgil van Dijk from set pieces, and his Dutch teammate Ake is a similar level of threat there from set pieces.
Aaron, I know you watch a lot of EFL football, so I'm sure you watched a lot of Leeds last season. I don't know about you, but I was really impressed with that performance against Sheffield United. Probably the most impressive performance I thought of the opening three games for Leeds, because they kind of, their success in the Championship came from solid foundations. They weren't necessarily free-flowing. They play a lovely style of football, but just very organised, very drilled. And we saw that against Sheffield United, didn't we?
We did, we did. The only problem I'd say is that I think Sheffield United, they're missing out and out goal scorer. And if you, the chances they created, if you allow City those sort of chances, they are going to punish you. The way Leeds play, it's really exciting, but it is fraught with danger. And in three games so far against Liverpool, Fulham and Sheffield United, they've conceded 50 shots, which has led to six wow. goals. They actually lost the XG 1.7 to 1.3 at Sheffield United. So I think City are going to capitalise on those chances. And I think City to win and both teams to score at 5-4 looks the right play, because defensively, I'm still worried a little bit about City.
Yeah, Warren, I know on the, you know, our pre-season podcasts and everything, no one could quite get their head around Manchester City's outright price for the Premier League. And to be honest, I think that's justified. Their start to the season hasn't been ideal, has it?
No, I think that's fair to say. I mean, they're obviously looking to try and bring in new additions still to try and strengthen the squad. We have to remember as well, they have had, I would say, five or six key injury problems to have to deal with, Jack, as well over the opening weeks. No Sergio Aguero yet as well. I still think, like Aaron said there, I think they'll probably have a little bit too much for Leeds, who have started really well. I like the 5-4 of both teams to score and City to win in this game. And if you include the EFL win over Bournemouth, City have conceded 7 goals in 3 games, 8 in 4 games conceded by Leeds as well. Two teams that want to go forward. So I reckon it'll be a really entertaining game, but I think City, as I say, will probably come out on top.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that one. Okay, the final game on Saturday. This is an 8 o'clock kickoff, which is Newcastle take on Burnley. Once again, this one on Sky Sports. And Emmett, take us away with the prices and your angle for this game.
Yeah, so Newcastle 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Burnley 2-1. Yeah, but I'm not sure we're looking forward to a classic here. Both sides look fairly depleted, with Matt Ritchie, Alan Saint-Maximin and Ryan Fraser likely out for Newcastle. And then Burnley, a huge injury problems with Jack Cork, Ben Mee, Jay Rodriguez, James Tarkowski and Ashley Barnes possibly still out as well. I'd be worried about Burnley this season, really, with the lack of signings. I think Dyche has worked miracles in previous years to kind of overcome the lack of spending. But my gut feeling would be that this might be season too far for this game. I think I can't see past a kind of tight, low-scoring game. So the draw would appeal to me, 21-10.
Yeah, Warren, I think Stuart Webber described Norwich City's Premier League squad last season as being sent to war without a gun. And I suppose Sean Dyche might see that that idea with this Burnley squad, as Emmett mentioned, that it feels like there's a slight lack of resource.
Yeah, you could maybe go as far, Jack, to say Burnley have been sent into war without a gun and with a blindfold on at the moment, because they're that hamstrung with a lack of quality, really, in the squad to come in and replace the players that they've lost. And, of course, Jeff Hendrick, one of those, could well be lining up for Newcastle. But I can understand what Emmett's saying there. I genuinely don't think this is going to be a classic by any way. Looking at under 1.5 goals here for me, because I think one goal might be enough to win it. It's 7-4 under 1.5 goals. Last gasp penalty against Spurs, by the way, for Newcastle last time out, was their third shot on target in 3 Premier League games. In fact, they've scored with all 3 of those. That can't continue. And Burnley losing the first 2 Premier League games and look like they're devoid of confidence at the moment. I can see just one goal being enough to win this one.
Aaron, I quite like kind of getting in for the night and cozying up on the sofa ahead of a late night Saturday Premier League kickoff. But the gents aren't selling this one to me yet, can you?
Unfortunately not, Jack. Might have to watch Britain's Got Talent at 8 o'clock instead. There was just one goal scored in both across both Premier League meetings last season. And like you say, Newcastle have had just three shots on target. They've scored with all of them. And Sean Dyche's Burnley, they lack quality. They're well organised. You know what they're going to be. They're going to be direct. They're going to look for Chris Wood. A lot of crosses into the box. I can see these two cancelling each other out. Both teams scored in only three of Burnley's last 15 away league games. So one or both teams not to score at 4-5 is the value for me.
Okay, it could be Hampton Deck rather than Sean and Steve on Saturday night then. Right, we're going to take a quick break and Sunday's games coming right up.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to part two of the Football Postcast. Thanks so much for joining me. It's myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Aaron Ashley, Warren Ashurst and Emma O'Keefe this week to hopefully arm you with some decent betting insight. The early kickoff on Sunday, and there's two of them. Let's start with the first. It's Leicester City against West Ham, this one on BT Sport. Emmett, has West Ham's last result affected the prices here at all?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, we've Leicester 8-13, the draw 3-1. And West Ham 4-1. I thought Leicester might be a bit shorter here, but I think the market's clearly reacting to West Ham's comprehensive victory over Wolves. I was slightly worried about Leicester coming into the season when Wilfred Ndidi was ruled out for 12 weeks with injury, and his absence had a huge effect on them last year. But if Nampalis Mendy plays like he did against Man City, then he won't be too badly missed. He and Youri Tielemans are absolutely superb and really got the better of Man City's midfield. And with the additions of Castagne from Atalanta, Cengiz Under from Roma, and centre-half Wesley Fofana, it looks like, to me, like Leicester well set up from their tail to the top four. And while West Ham were impressive against Wolves and even defeat against Arsenal, I'd still have Leicester shorter than 8-13 here. And I think I'd look to play Leicester half-time, full-time, or Leicester minus one in the handicaps, maybe.
Yeah, Aaron, what about you? It felt as if there was a bit of turmoil surrounding West Ham coming into the season, but it's not been a bad start, has it?
No, it's not. They probably deserve some at Arsenal. And then that Wolves result, I mean, they're just a really difficult team to assess. I've not made up my mind on them. So I'd probably be happy to swerve Leicester at the prices. My best bet would be Harvey Barnes to score any time. I'm a big fan of Barnes, and I think he started the season brilliantly. His performance has probably been overshadowed by Vardy's heroics, but his pace and his reading of the game, he gets in some wonderful positions. And he's actually had 10 shots, more than any other Leicester player this season. He scored against Burnley, and he opened the scoring in this correspondence fixture last season. So 11-4, him to get on the score sheet would be where my money would go.
That sounds good to me. Warren, what about you? What are we feeling for this one?
I can't look past Leicester here, really, to be honest, Jack. I think they look strong at the moment, although we'll issue an air of caution a little bit about this, because they've conceded two goals in each of the last three games. And Leicester to win and both teams to score looks a decent price at 21-10. West Ham, by the way, one win in 11 Premier League games on the road when you consider the back end of last season as well. And sorry for this, chap, but that win was at Norwich. So that kind of tells you that they have had their struggles away from home. Both teams have scored in the last four meetings, including a 4-1 win for Leicester the last time they met back in January. And I think that although Leicester, you know, can leak the odd goal, I think they'll be too strong for West Ham overall.
I'm glad you mentioned that stat, Warren, because, you know, I take the similar mindset to you in terms of I don't mind looking at the back end of a previous season to assess how teams were performing. But I know a lot of people are like, well, I'm not reading into it too much. It's the start of a new season. It's a fresh slate. Do you think there's value in looking, you know, quite a way back in terms of the form?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially if you've got the same manager in charge, of course, from the back end of last season, like with David Moyes, and they have this time around. And West Ham haven't really made that many additions, of course, in the transfer market either. So I think there is something to look into there. I think sometimes on the form on the road can be a big indicator as to how teams can do coming up with games such as this at Leicester, where they have struggled before.
Yeah, I agree. The other early kickoff on Sunday is Southampton against West Brom on BT Sport Extra. Emmett, a show of the prizes here. And what are we thinking ahead of this one?
So Southampton are 8-11, the draw 11-4, and West Brom 7-2. I fancy West Brom quite strongly here. I think most of Southampton's best football last season came away from home. And I can see Diangana and Matthias Pereira being a huge threat for West Brom in the break. Southampton, to me, haven't really strengthened much from last year, and I think they'll miss Højbjerg badly after he signed for Spurs in the summer. I'd have West Brom a couple of ticks shorter here, and I think they'll be with the players they have in their counter attack. I think they'll be a pretty big threat in a lot of their away games this year.
Aaron, I'm not really adding much insight here because I've said I'm really struggling to assess a lot of these teams. And again, West Brom fall into that category for me. I wasn't overly impressed with their championship campaign. I know they got promotion. I haven't been overly impressed with their start to the Premier League. But like Emmy, I mean, they've got a chance here, haven't they?
I see it slightly differently. I actually think Southampton are a fair price at 8-11. At the start of the season, I was quietly confident Southampton could push for a top half finish, whereas I didn't give West Brom much hope of staying up. They may have held Chelsea last week and they've had a tough start to the season, but they've still leaked 11 goals in three games, and someone like Danny Ings is going to smell blood against what's pretty much a championship defence. I think it's easy to forget how good Southampton looked at the back end of last season when they beat City, they drew at Old Trafford, and for me this is a game they've got to be winning.
Yeah, no, I agree. Warren, you know, Southampton, again, one of them clubs who are maybe looking to take their next step now. And this is a game that they'll be seeing to hopefully pick up 3 points.
Yeah, it will be. And I think it's very, very difficult to call this game. I have to say, I think it's possibly the most difficult game of the whole weekend, because West Brom, obviously in patches against Chelsea, showed what they're capable of going forward. But at the back, they look really, really leaky. And as Emmett says, Southampton aren't great at home, it has to be said. I think they'll probably just have a little bit too much for West Brom. Much-needed win, I think, at Burnley last week will probably boost confidence a little bit. Plus, it was a clean sheet at Turf Moor as well. I think Saints just about edge this. I don't quite have the confidence that many suggest that Southampton could be a top-half team this season. I think they've still got a lot of work to do, but I think they'll just about edge this game, although I'd maybe be looking more towards maybe both teams to score in this match.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a really fascinating encounter, that one. And this next game is as well, 2 o'clock on Sunday, Arsenal taking on Sheffield United. Emmett, I'm going to put you on the spot here, so I'll come to you second. I wouldn't mind getting an outright display of the relegation market for the Premier League. Aaron, Dan Charles was on this podcast a few weeks ago, and he actually tipped up Sheffield United to get relegated from the Premier League this season. And that sounded quite a bold and brash tip at the time, but I can kind of see where he's coming from now. What about you?
Yeah, I can definitely see where he's coming from. It's the old second season syndrome, isn't it? They only scored 39 goals last season, and they lack an out-and-out goal scorer, especially with Moussa sidelined. Billy Sharp's probably past his best. McGoldrick's never really been prolific. And for me, I'm just struggling to see where their goals are going to come from. They've lost all three games this season without scoring. And I can see, although they're going to be well organised and they're going to be hard to beat, I think Arsenal to win in under 3.5 goals is probably the play here. Sheffield United, like you say, they're going to dig in, they're going to keep fighting. But for me, they lack firepower. So Arsenal to win in under 3.5 goals.
Good stuff, Emmett. Hopefully that was enough time for you to get the relegation market up. What's the prices looking like for that, and where the Sheffield United laying it at the moment?
Yeah, so Fulham looks certain. He's going to end at 1-4, West Brom 8-13, Burnley 17-10, Sheffield United 21-10, Newcastle 11-4, West Ham 3-1, Villa 4-1, Palace 5-1, Brighton 5-1, and 9-1 bar.
Would you be having a play on Sheffield United to go down?
I think their prices, I think I would like to buy on when Dan was tipping them up a couple of weeks ago. I think their probably price is short into a fair enough price now. I kind of think that they've, as previously mentioned, they certainly lack a goal scorer, and it looks like Jack O'Connell's probably going to be out for the season. I think that's a really major blow to them. But there's not many centre halves who have his kind of footballing ability, and he really kind of knits their 3-5-2 system in terms of his overlapping and his general ability. So it's hard to see Sheffield United not struggling this year for sure.
And in terms of this game, what's your tip?
So I like 1.5 goals, 10-11 here. Sheffield United yet to score all season. I think Arsenal are going to be far from gung ho under Mikel Arteta. So I think I could have a tight, low scoring game on the horizon here.
Any hope for Sheffield United, Warren?
I can't, I'm afraid. Although I do think there are probably three worse teams than them this season, so they will be in a relegation battle, in my opinion. But I think they might just have enough to stay up. But as Aaron said there, I think the lack of goals is a concern. They've not scored in their opening three matches. Arsenal look far more solid at the back under Mikel Arteta than they have done for probably about 10 years now. And I think Arsenal to win to nil at 7-5 could be a good shout here. They're also unbeaten in 10 at home in the Premier League as well, Arsenal. Aubameyang, by the way, hasn't scored since the opening day against Fulham, so he's maybe due a goal, and he's 5-2 to score first against the Blades.
Sorry, Sheffield United fans. I felt as if you needed to be brought back down to earth after a wonderful campaign last time out. Let's see what Chris Wilder can muster up this season. One more 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday then. This is Wolves take on Fulham on Sky Sports. Emmett, you just mentioned there Fulham seen a certainty to go down. Am I right in saying you've already paid out on the relegation market there?
It is. That's certainly correct here. We're kind of offering markets so whether they're going to break Derby's all-time kind of lowest point scoring record of 11 points, I think it is, and whether they won't win again all season, 250-1. So if you want to be negative on Fulham, we've plenty of markets available for you.
Do we really think they're that bad? I mean, I'm happy because it gets rid of the talk of Norwich City losing 10 in a row at the end of last season. But, I mean, Fulham, they're not terrible, are they?
I would tend to agree with you. Like as an, I think actually they've been actually, despite the results, they've been fairly sensible in kind of changing their approach in the last time they were in the Premier League when they were splashing money on lads who didn't really want to be there, the likes of Andre Schürrle and others. I think Alphonso Areola looks a pretty good signing in nets. I think in general they've the fullback from Wigan, Anthony Robinson, looks a decent signing. And I, yeah. Even though they have a terrible start, I would still expect them to improve. And for this week, the match prices are Wolves 1-2, the draw 29-10, and Fulham 6-1. And I wouldn't be shocked to see them get a result here. For as bad as Fulham have been, I think Wolves, even at their best, struggle to break down teams that sit deep and try to frustrate them. And I haven't really been impressed by Wolves' summer business. And they couldn't have been worse against West Ham last week, I feel. So I think I'd be tempted to chance Fulham +2 in the handicap markets at around 4-5.
Warren, what do we make of this Wolves side as well? Obviously, a horrendous last game out against West Ham. Can they bounce back here?
Yeah, I think they can. I saw them against Manchester City in the opening game and I felt that 3-1 was a bit harsh in terms of the scoreline. I thought Wolves probably should have had at least a couple of goals in the second half. And I think it's going to take them a little bit of time. It was an incredibly long season for them, of course, last time out. June to July, I think it ran from one year to another because of Europa League playoffs and then going all the way through to the Europa League closing stages. So there is going to be a bit of a hangover. And of course, losing the likes of Jota will make a difference. But they've lost 3 of 11 in the Premier League at Molineux, and they were against Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City. So that tells you their own story. They're normally a tough nut to crack at home. My concern with Fulham is, you know, some teams look like they can potentially, like Sheffield United, maybe go away from home, shut up shop, make it difficult for a team. I'm not sure Fulham can do that. I really don't. And for me, I just think that Wolves will get back on track here with a win. Over 2.5 goals in this game is 11-10, and that looks like a really good bet for me.
Sounds good, Warren. Aaron, what do we make of Scott Parker? I love watching his post-match interviews because he's always got something, you know, unique and away from the kind of agenda we usually hear. But is he capable of keeping this Fulham side up?
Not unless he starts signing some defenders. For me, defensively, he tried a 5-man defence against Villa and they just looked all over the place. I mean, they've conceded 10 goals now in 3 games. And yeah, I really fancy Wolves to bounce back with a bang. I know that they need a positive result and they couldn't ask for a better opponent than Fulham at home at the moment, especially with a low on confidence. So yeah, Wolves, they won 8 games at home last season, 6 of which were by at least 2 goals. And they beat all 3 relegated sides. The year before, they struggled to break down the lesser teams, but they beat all 3 relegated sides and kept a clean sheet at home in each of those. So for me, I believe Wolves -1 goal on the handicap, 6-4, represents some value.
Brilliant stuff. A couple of handicap plays there. 2 more Premier League games to get through. And, of course, the Naps. Stay with us.
Paddy Power giving all customers a £5 free bet for Man United v Spurs. Just log in and claim. Terms and conditions apply. 18+.
Welcome back to part 3 and the final part of the football postcast. Thank you so much for joining us and thank you for making it this far through. This looks like a cracker. Manchester United against Tottenham Hotspur on Sunday, the 4th, 6 o'clock kickoff. Emmett, your angle here, and I believe there's an offer for Paddy Power customers.
That's correct, yeah. So if Paddy Power's customers sign up or log into the account, there's a €5 free bet available for what should be a pretty exciting game on Sunday evening. The match prices are Man United 20-23, the draw 13-5, and Tottenham are 29-10. I think if Son Heung-min was fit here, I think you'd have to fancy Spurs. But I think his combination play with Harry Kane has been a real feature of, I think, Spurs. What's been a decent start to the Spurs season. But without him, I think they certainly lack a fair bit of punch up front against the United defence that looks ripe to be exploited. I hope, as a United fan, that they can't be as bad as they've been throughout the first two matches. And the endless transfer sagas are as tiresome as they are unproductive so far in the window. To me, it's a very hard match to call, and I'll sit on the fence here. I think the draw at 5-2 makes most appeal in what should be a relatively tight game.
Aaron, how are you summing this one up?
I wanted to be against United, but then this is a quick turnaround for Spurs. This is going to be their fourth match in just 7 days, which is a bit of a concern with their, obviously, the Europa League adventure. But at the same time, United's defence really does worry me. So I'd be going both teams to score an over 2.5 goals. Spurs have conceded in all six of their competitive games this season, but they do still have the tools to trouble United, who have obviously conceded 5 goals against Palace and Brighton. The Seagulls had 18 shots and were by far the better side. So for me, both teams are scoring over 2.5 goals at odds against looks a good bet.
Okay, Warren, what about you here?
I'm also going for the draw as well here, Jack. I mean, it's been a tough week for Spurs. 4 games in 7 days for anybody is going to be difficult, but I don't think they've got the biggest of squads. Losing Son, as Emmett says, is a big blow, really. I'm expecting a Mourinho-esque solid display here from Tottenham and potentially going just to try and claim a point from Old Trafford. With no Son and Gareth Bale not ready yet, their options are limited. Man United were fortunate to win at Brighton last weekend, but you know they responded pretty well with that EFL Cup victory against the Seagulls. And I wonder whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer might make a couple of interesting changes. It was 1-1 when they met last time out at Spurs in June, and it's 11-2 for the same score out this time around, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case.
One more Premier League game to get through, and that's Aston Villa against Liverpool. This is an 8:15 kickoff on Sunday. Emmett, Villa, they've made really good business in the transfer window, haven't they? That Ross Barkley signing looks like a shrewd bit of business. Does that shorten their price in this game at all?
Maybe not in this game, but I would definitely agree with you. I think Villa looked to me one of the most improved sides from last season. So the match prices for this game are Aston Villa 17-2, the draw 4-1, and Liverpool 3-10. Yeah, as alluded to there, I think this should be a pretty intriguing game given Villa's form. John McGinn looks back to his best. Only through 2 games, but he's, in terms of creating key chances, he's up there with De Bruyne and Bruno Fernandes so far this season. And I think given Douglas Luiz's improvement at the end of last season, the midfield three of Grealish, Luiz and John McGinn looks a very strong unit. And Ollie Watkins, obviously, an enormous upgrade over previous Villa strikers, even though I don't think he's quite at his best level yet. And Matty Cash looks a pretty good signing from Nottingham Forest as well. I wanted to side with Villa here because I feel the market isn't quite taking into account their improvement. So the way I do it would be backing both teams to score 10-11. I think Liverpool, as we've seen so far, aren't quite as focused defensively as they likely will be later in the campaign. I think Villa can exploit any frailties here.
Warren, I mean, this Liverpool side, whenever I watch them, I'm just always on the edge of my seat. They're just so intense and relentless, aren't they? I mean, their mindset looks really impressive. I mean, it seems as if they've got a bit more depth in the squad this time around. And again, I just see it myself. Any team that, you know, is going to want to beat them this season is going to have to be at their very best.
Yep, I agree with you. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Jack, about squad depth. I think they've taken a step up from last season in terms of their options. Of course, no Thiago, who came down with coronavirus this week, but plenty of options elsewhere. I mean, Minamino's come in the EFL Cup and looked really impressive. And of course, there's been no Henderson and Oxlade-Chamberlain of late as well due to injury. So there are plenty of options there for Jurgen Klopp. And although for me, I think Villa have improved and they believe they will improve on last season's performance, that's the big factor for me. They look like they believe they can be away from a relegation battle this season. And Ross Barkley looks like a good addition as well. I think they will struggle to see off Liverpool in this game. I agree in the sense that there could be goals because Liverpool haven't looked 100% at the back. And Liverpool to win and both teams to score at 17-10 looks like a good option.
Yeah, that does indeed. Longer than I thought that would be. Good angle that. And Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, I completely agree with Warren here. I mean, it must be quite exciting time being an Aston Villa fan at the moment. Last season, they lacked creativity. They lacked a focal point. Grealish was their top goal scorer of 8 goals. But Watkins coming in, Bertrand Traore coming in. It's exciting times. And a midfield of Grealish, McGinn, Barkley, yeah, they've got a lot of weapons that could cause Liverpool some problems. Liverpool kept only one clean sheet in the last 8 Premier League games, and that was against Chelsea, who obviously restricted to 10 men after in the first half. So, and Arsenal did cause some problems. That high line, Lacazette got in a few times, didn't he, and forced a few saves from Alisson. So yeah, I can see Villa scoring, but I just can't oppose this Liverpool team. They just know how to win. They know how to get it done. So yeah, Liverpool to win and both teams to score.
Good on Jack Grealish as well for staying at Villa. I think a lot of people maybe expected him to take a step up in quality and maybe go and win some trophies. But I'm really glad to see him stay there. It's not always about the trophies, playing for his boyhood club and very much living the dream. Good on him. Okay, any other angles from other divisions then, Aaron? I'm always a big fan of your EFL tips in the Racing Post Sport. Let's give our listeners an early heads up to them, shall we?
Yeah, I've got a few fancies at the weekend. I fancy Luton at home to Wickham. Luton have been a revelation since Nathan Jones has gone back there. He's lost only 2 of his 12 games in charge. They've started the season brightly with 6 points from their opening 3 games. And Wanderers, for me, they just look out their depth. They lack a lot of championship quality. And they've lost all 3 games without scoring. And their only away game saw them thump 5-0 at Blackburn, who actually had 16 shots on target. So 4-5 Luton, I think, is a good price. I like Oxford at home to Crewe. They were beaten in the League One playoff final last season. Crewe have been outclassed by Charlton and Hull, and they won 2-0 at home to Dons last week, but Dons had 70% possession away from home, so Oxford, 8-11, I think is a good price. And I also like Forest Green. I think they're going to have a good season this season. They've taken 5 points from their opening 3 games, and they had 22 shots at Salford last week. Got a 0-0 draw there, but back at home to Walsall, odds against, looks a good price to me as well.
I'm always a big fan of watching Gareth Ainsworth's post-match interviews. I mean, they've really struggled in their opening games. He always just seems so happy to be alive and managing with them. So good on him. I wonder how long that will last. Emmett, let's come to you next. Any other fancies from across any other divisions?
Actually, I've won outright bet I feel is worth mentioning if anyone's doing any outright accumulators. I think Atalanta at 6-1 and 11-2 are still a bet to win Serie A. They demolished Lazio with ease last night. And unlike traditionally what happens when small clubs take Europe by storm, they usually get raided and depleted. And that hasn't happened, possibly due to the coronavirus. I think they'll even get stronger as the season goes on with star striker Josip Bilicic due back. And Juventus are as vulnerable as they've been in many years, with the declining Ronaldo, a rookie manager, and Andrea Pirlo, and some quite odd summer signings, including Alvaro Romato, who I always feel consistently flatters to deceive. So I really fancy Atlanta strongly at 6-1, 11-2.
All right, bet. Lovely stuff, Emmett. And what about you, Warren?
Yeah, the guys have already mentioned Jack Blackburn as a potential team to go up from the Championship this season. And I think they look a great price at 23-20 to beat Cardiff at Ewood Park. That 4-0 hammering of Derby will have seen a lot of teams sit up and take notice of Tony Mowbray's side. Confidence high. Cardiff have got 3 points from 3 games. And they've probably taken losing in the playoffs hard from last season. They're often hard to bounce back after being so close to promotion. And I think Blackburn just look a really, really good bet at the moment. They're flying high, and 23-20 looks like the one for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Warren, there. A very nice price. Okay, time for the naps, the best bets from the gents this week.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, time for the naps. As always, our sponsors, Paddy Power, will get this treble enhanced on the website. Just head over to the website and it should be easy enough to find. We'll link it in the description of this podcast as well. Emmett, we'll start with you, your nap of the week.
Yeah, following Aaron here with the Luton home to Wickham at 8-11, as mentioned, Nathan Jones done an unbelievable job since returning to Luton, and it's really hard to see that not continuing against a Wickham team that looked by far the worst team in the Championship.
Warren, you next.
I'm going to go into League One, and I fancy Burton to beat Portsmouth, a really good price as well, 21-10. Unbeaten in 10 at the Pirelli Stadium when you go back into last season, Burton as well. Pompey have got just 2 points in their opening 3 games, and they've only scored 1 goal in those 3 matches as well. So Burton on home soil, tough to beat, 21-10.
Yeah, I watched that Portsmouth game against Wigan. They were absolutely dire. And Aaron, we'll give you the final team to go into our treble this week.
I think Port Vale away at Morecambe at 13-10 is a great price. Morecambe have been thumped 5-0 by Cambridge and 7-0 by Newcastle in their last 2 home games. And I really like Port Vale in League 2. I think they'll go well. I fancy them for promotion. They've collected 7 points from their opening 3 games, yet to concede a goal. winning at Exeter on the last away trip, and 13-10 looks great price for me.
Just a quick one on Morecambe, Aaron. I backed them last week against Southend, and it felt wrong to do so off the back of a 5-0 and 7-0 defeat, but they got the job done there. How bad are Southend this season?
They've been hit hard by money worries and injuries, and they've just lost Humphreys to Rochdale, which is going to take away a lot of their attacking quality. Yeah, they are going to struggle.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so the treble this week, Luton, Burton and Port Vale. That will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. Really enjoyed it this week, gents. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks to Aaron, Warren and Emmett for the show. If you've enjoyed it, then please do rate and subscribe on iTunes. And please do remember, if you are having a bet this weekend, to gamble responsibly. It's really important. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.